Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
We've been really talking about dealing with our thoughts and our mind. Last week, we talked about, just a quick recap, three ways that you can really focus on making change. You can focus on the outcome, you can focus on the process, or you can focus on identity. We talked about identity last week as being the real key thing. Outcome is, I want to quit smoking. Process is, I'm going to get a patch. Identity says, I'm a non-smoker. And so you really begin to identify. So you can take that over into Scripture and then begin to say, this is who I am in Christ. So instead of saying I'm an addict, and I know this goes against some of the 12-step thing, but instead of saying I'm an addict, you can begin to say, thank God the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, that I'm an overcomer. Now, you can still recognize that you have a propensity or a weakness in an area without focusing constantly on the weakness. You can begin to focus on your identity in Christ. And your identity in Christ is one of the strongest things that we can do. The more we see that, it's a powerful thought. We talked about our identity in Christ being the key factor to contributing to change. And then I heard a lady say this. Actually, is a minister by the name of Christine Kane. She said, what God has done in us is greater than what we have done or what has been done to us. It's greater than, and here's another thing too. It's greater than your genetics. We've been taught, really, and science has proven it now, that, you know, your genetics just determine that's who you are. And so a lot of times people just say, well, that's who I am. And if you buy into that, then you're pretty much sold on that. And yet we're finding that that you can actually begin to rewire who you are and change. I remember years and years ago, they used to say things like, your personality is set by the time you're 5 years old. And I thought, man, that is a really discouraging thought. And so I don't think science took into account the fact that you can actually rewire your brain. Neuroplasticity is the terminology for it. It begins to change things. And so we're going to do that. You know what I forgot to do? The offering. Okay. Let me back up. Thank you. Now, I did this on purpose, not forget on purpose. I did the same verse on purpose. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. What I did on purpose was go over a scripture that I go over a lot. And if you've been around, you say, Alan, you do that at least once or twice a month. And there's a reason for that. What we repeat, we remember. And so with Scripture, don't ever get to the point where you're thinking, I know that. Because you can know it in your head and it really hasn't registered on your heart. And so one of the best things you begin to do is whenever you see Scripture, just go, thank you, I can see it. Because you can see it and yet you can see it. It can become more real to you. And so honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. There's a promise that tells us that I can honor God with my giving. And then there's a promise associated with it. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Well, I don't have a barn or a vat, but I do have an account. And so the idea is you're honoring the Lord. In fact, the Lord said, those who honor me, I will honor. And so that's the idea behind it. But I keep going over that verse because I want us to get it. And one of the best ways to get it, what we repeat, we remember. And there's actually something, I learned something new the other day. It's called Hebb's Law. It says neurons that fire together, wire together. That's why the more you repeat something, the more you create a path. And so speaking Scripture, learning Scripture, memorizing Scripture helps create a neural pathway in your brain. So Now that we've gone through that, let me go back to the message. I wonder, on Sunday, I don't normally do this, but I talked on Sunday, it's connected, about David, what David had with God. David had a very traumatic experience happen to him. Okay, I'm just going to ask a quick question. How many were here on Sunday? Okay, how many were not? I'm not going to fuss at you, okay. Okay. Really, on Wednesday nights, I almost have two different groups. But on Sunday, I talked about how David, when he came back from Ziklag, he had his home was burned, his wives and children were kidnapped, and then the men that he led, about 600 men, were thinking of killing him, stoning him, because they were so upset. And the Bible said, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So we talked about that's a huge level of trauma to bounce back from. And how did David bounce back? And there's something called the resilience factor. The stronger you go into a situation, the quicker your bounce back, or your ability to overcome a setback. And so we said that David had some strength going in. So just real quick, we said that David had an ongoing relationship with God. Psalms 34:1. We know this from David's writings. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David had a relationship with God. Second thing we said is David had a relationship with God's word. He had a real respect for God's word. Psalms 19:7-8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You could take God's word and substitute that right in there. You could say, the word of God is perfect. It converts the soul. It will change your mind. How many of you can honestly say, since I've become a believer, my thinking towards things has changed? And so God's word can convert the soul. The word of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Aren't you glad that you're a lot wiser now that you know the Lord than you were beforehand? I mean, I don't know about you. I look back on some things I did and go, man, that was stupid. And Joy looks at me and goes, yes, that is so right. The word of the Lord is right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. David's relationship with God's word, he had a real reverence for God's word. We're talking about why David was strong. David had an understanding of the significance of his words and his thoughts. Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So he talked about that David had an understanding in things. But David also believed some things about God. And this is important to get. David believed some things about God. Now, people know the story of David, and one of the most famous stories of David is what he did with Bathsheba. And really what David did, if a preacher did that today, they would barbecue him. Okay, for example, for those of you who don't know, David should have been going to war, but he stayed at home. And he sees the lady in Bathsheba taking a bath at night on the rooftop. I don't want to go into all that, but so he calls for her. They have an affair. She's a married woman. They have an affair. She gets pregnant, and he tries to work it out where her husband was at war to bring him back so he would think the child is his. So this is pretty deceptive. And the husband is a really honorable man named Uriah, and he won't go into his house. He said, I can't do that while my brothers are at war. And so David sent a letter to Uriah's commander-in-chief by Uriah's own hand, said, put him in the front of the war and draw back on him. And they put him in the very front of the battle and then withdrew, and the enemy killed him. So can you imagine if that happened today, if a pastor of a large church, I'm not even going to use me because I refuse to get involved in this. Pastor of a large church has an affair with a woman, gets her pregnant, and then has her husband killed. That's serious. A prophet came and spoke to David. And you ought to read the story sometime, because this prophet set David up big time. Told him a story and just made David so angry. And the prophet looked at him and said, you're the man that's done this. And God told him, if you go back and read it, how God talks to David, he said, I took you from being a shepherd. I took you from watching sheep. I gave you Israel. I made you a king. I gave you Saul's family, wives. I gave you all this. And the Lord said, and if that had not been enough, I'd have given you even more. He said, you've despised the Lord. Looked down on his commandment. He said, the child is going to die. Bathsheba had a child, said the child is going to die. So David goes in, the child gets sick. This is judgment. Here is David, a high-ranking leader, the highest-ranking leader in the nation. He does something like this. In fact, the prophet said, you've given occasion of the Lord's enemies to blaspheme. And the child got sick. David went and laid on his face for a solid week, fasting and praying. In fact, they tried to get him up. He wouldn't. His servants tried to get him to eat. He wouldn't pay attention to him. He is laying and calling on God for a week. I'm thinking, why are you doing that? Then the servants begin to whisper that the child had died. I want you to hear what David said. 2 Samuel 12. David figured out that the child was dead. He said, is the child dead? They said, he's dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, changed his clothes, and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is this that you've done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food. And he said, this is David said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now that he's dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I'll go to him, but he shall not return to me. But did you hear what this guy said? You had an affair, you killed a man, and then you're praying because you're thinking maybe that the Lord will be gracious to you. Now here's my point. David believed that God was good. And that's an important thing. He believed that God was good and that God would be good to him. I don't know about you, but if the Lord came to me and said, no, this is done, I'm not going to pray a week. I'm not going to fast for a week. He prayed for a week thinking that God would be gracious to him after he had done all this evil. This is a man who believed in the goodness of God. You're saying, well, why is that so important? Because that was part of David's strength. And this is why David bounced back, because he believed that God was good and that God would be good to him. Listen to some of David's writings and how he begins to talk about God. He said in Psalms 103, my soul bless the Lord, and all that is within me bless his holy name. My soul, bless the Lord, and do not forget all of his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with faithful love and compassion. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in faithful love. David believed that God was good, that God was gracious, that God would forgive, that God would heal, that God would redeem him, that God would, oh man, David just believed that God was good. He believed that God would help him and protect him. Psalms 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart celebrates and I give thanks to him with my song. David believed God would help him. David believed God would be good to him. He expressed his thanks. Now, here's something interesting about expressing thanks. Expressing thanks, science will tell you this. When you just begin to express thanks on simple things, and I've heard secular scientists say, if you just thank God for your cup of coffee and how it tastes in the morning, I'm thinking, okay. But he said it raises, it gives you dopamine and serotonin. It actually begins to work something in you And it helps you cognitively just to give thanks. You know, the Lord knew exactly what he was talking about when he said, give thanks always for all things. Because, not because he needs to hear it, but because we need to do it. And because what it does is it helps us and strengthens us and begins to build things in us mentally. In fact, it says, if you give thanks, it will slow down your heart rate and reduce your stress hormones. Just by giving gratitude. Now, this is people giving gratitude for a cup of coffee or the sunshine on their face. If you can give gratitude for coffee and sunshine on your face, can you give gratitude to a God who redeems you from hell, who is good to you, who loves you, who has a wonderful plan for your life? We can find something to thank God for on a regular basis. And David was thanking God all the time. I'm going to give him thanks with my song. He is my help and my shield. You say, Alan, why are you going through that? That's David. Because David was a servant of God. We are his children. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And if a servant can praise God, how much more can a family member praise God? And if a servant believes that God will be good to them, how much more your own family? God is our heavenly Father. If he can be good to a servant, he can sure enough be good to me, his favorite son. Say, whoa, 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 Alan. You are not his favorite. I am one of his favorites. And so are you. You guys say, well, God's big enough to have a whole lot of favorites. It's not going to faze him if all of us go, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm one of your favorites. It will bless him. Because we are accepted, highly favored in the beloved in Christ. So it's good. You ought to say that tonight before you go to bed. Just look in the mirror and go, you're one of God's favorites. Sleep, sleep, sweet, one of God's favorites. I tell George, she gets irritated at me, but I call her my favorite wife. She said, I'm your only wife. I said, I know, but even if you were, you're still my favorite wife. And we're one of God's favorite people. David believed that. David believed that God loved him. We can believe the same thing. By the way, we could go back and take these very same psalms and say, my soul bless the Lord and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For he forgives. I don't forget all of his benefits. For he heals all my diseases. He forgives all my sins. He redeems my life. And listen, if David can say it, we can say it. In fact, this is written so we can say it. So David believed some things that gave him confidence. We can believe some things that give us confidence. Now, here's the key. We need to use God's design to build confidence in him. God's design. There's a way to build confidence. Proverbs 4 gives us a good pattern. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for their life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it's the source of life. Now, let me just give you a pattern real quickly. One, give your attention to God's word. Wait, there are a lot of things that vie for our attention. But energy follows attention. So in other words, we talked about the power of four. The power of four says, if you just focus on scripture four times a week, it'll change things for you. And I said, oh, we beat that. Because here at the Ark, everybody reads Bible 365. That's right, 5 days, yeah. So we're at least on 5 days a week. That's the least. And so the power, it says, and here's what happens with scripture is you are starving stressors and you're building resilience. So when you read scripture and you give your attention to scripture, and here's the suggestion, use your best time to give attention to scripture. When you wake up in the morning, don't grab your phone first. I heard an oh. That was not a whoo, that was a whoo. If you go to your phone first, that's your best attention time. And then you're giving attention to negatives, what other people have said, what other people have done, what other people have said to you, you're seeing all this stuff when you could give attention to God's word first. Now, we're talking about changing things. We're talking about building confidence. So Give your attention to God's word. Listen to his words. Speaking God's word engages the brain and creates pathways. What you speak out loud, your brain registers differently than silent thoughts. If you're ever having a hard time sometimes, you ever have one of those times where just thoughts just keep just pinging on you? One of the best things you can do is begin to speak out loud, because then your mind stops to listen to what you're saying. And so learning to quote scripture, having a scripture. And so you begin to repeat that. Anything that you repeat on a regular basis becomes a belief, and then beliefs begin to affect your behavior. And so he said, listen to God's word. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by God's word. Do you realize that faith will come more to you by listening to your own voice declare God's word? Even than me. Even than your favorite preacher. You are your favorite preacher. Your words matter more than mine. When you hear you speak, it registers on you differently than when you hear me speak. And so when you begin to speak things, your brain believes what you speak quicker. Your mind believes what you speak quicker. That's why you ought not to speak words like, oh, I'm so stupid. I'll never get this. It never works for me. I can't live this life. I don't know how they do it. He's just preaching. He doesn't really do it. No one can do this. Yeah, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can. But those words, Proverbs says there's one who speaks rashly like the piercings of a sword. But the word of the wise brings healing. Now we know, you know you've been attacked by someone's sword mouth before. Someone has said something to you. In fact, we used to call it cutting. You said something, you know, somebody said something, you said something back, and everyone go, ooh, he cut you. That's true. You can just cut somebody with your words. But here's the thing. We cut ourselves with our words. We have to think, the words we speak about ourselves, and this is the words when no one's listening. It's the words when we're by ourselves. And so this is why going to God's word and beginning to build it into our lives, listen to his word. Don't lose sight of God's word. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keeping God's word in you is an intentional act. You know that scripture that says guarding your heart, guard your heart? I really have been thinking about that lately, guarding your heart. We think about guarding our heart, and a lot of times we think about input, what we're looking at, what we're seeing, and that is a way to guard. I don't want anything coming at me that's going to hurt my heart. How many know there's some toxic things out there that if you see them, they're not good for you? Do I need to go into this in detail, or we got this? Yes. We got this. We know there's toxic things out there. But here's the thing that we don't think about. The thoughts I think and the words I speak can also hurt my heart. If I'm thinking that I can't live this life, that I'm just a failure, that I'm a loser, that I am destined, my life is always going to be horrible, it's always going to be this way, that's hurting my heart. But yet if I begin to think, God, you have made me a new creation, I am your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, there's a different thought there, and that helps my heart. It doesn't hurt my heart. It really has dawned on me lately. I want to be, guard my heart. I want to be careful of the words I speak and the thoughts I think, because they impact my heart. And so let me give you some things that will help you build your confidence. And this first one is going to sound so simple, but it is so important. God loves me. Now we say, I know that. I've known that since Sunday school. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. That's theologically very good. 1 John 4, look at this. 1 John 4, and we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God and God in him. We've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. As I'm going to tell you something, I really believe that that's such a simple revelation that will help you so much. If you would just, you can just put your hand on your heart and go, God loves me. God loves me. Y'all start your day with that. God, thank you that you love me. Because what happens is so much of the time, our belief that God loves us is based on what we believe our performance is. If you grew up in a home where maybe with love was withheld, if you did something wrong and it wasn't unconditional, and that's a lot of us, then it's easy to think that God sees us and he sees us all the times we fall short, and he looks at us and just goes, oh, there you are. Instead of going, God loves me. If you don't do anything other than say that for the rest of the week, God loves me. He loves me. You know that they have found that people need to believe that they are seen, that they're loved, and that they're safe. And just believing you're loved will change things. Just believing God loves you. And I agree with some experts that say many Christians really don't believe that. See, it's easy to believe that God maybe loves Joy because she's perfect. She's not. She's close, but she's not. Or that you see someone, for example, you see me, I'm your pastor, and you think, well, God loves Alan, he's a pastor. But I'm just a, you're just a what? Just a blood-bought child of the living God who God loves. And so it would just help you just to say it out loud. God, I believe the love that you have for me. They said if you actually just take your hand and put it on your chest and say that, it lowers cortisol and regulates your blood pressure and your heart rate. Just saying, I'm loved. I think as believers, we ought to get a hold of that and just believe in nothing else. We are loved. Yeah, but Alan, I've messed up. Well, join the club. But God's love for you is not based on your mess-ups or your perfection. It's based on who he is and his character. And he loves you. God loves me. Here's the second one. We need to believe that I'm an overcomer in life because of God's love. Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors through him who loved us. Listen, don't ask your feelings whether they agree with that or not. Just go ahead and accept that as a higher reality, as a higher truth. And when you accept it, there's some empowerment in that. Just accepting, going, I'm an overcomer in Christ. And then the last one, and I like this one, the Lord is helping me. God loves me. I'm an overcomer because I'm in Christ. And the Lord is helping me. Hebrews 13th chapter. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Look at the promises in there. He said, you can be without covetousness because he's saying, I'm enough. I'm with you. It's going to be all right. I will never leave you or forsake you. Oh, there are people that will leave you, people that will do wrong, people that will abandon you. He never will. And if you've ever been abandoned or someone has ever done you wrong, oh, you can get a hold of the fact that God never will. He will never leave you. He'll never abandon you. And we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. God loves me. I'm an overcomer in Christ. God is helping me. Three things that will build your confidence. Three things that will change you. Now, here's the thing. Take one of them, one of those thoughts, one of those verses a week, and just think about that. Get up in the morning, read it. Read it slow. Read it before you read Bible 365. Because everybody reads Bible 365 again. But read it before that. Read it slow. Think about it. Maybe during the day, if you write it down, whatever you write, you register a little bit, write it down. Go over it. When you take a lunch break, you say, well, I don't have time, I'm busy. You're thinking about something anyway. Might as well think about something that's going to help you. Think about it. Then at night, before you go to bed, instead of scrolling, for a woo crowd, y'all can get really quiet. Instead of scrolling, take that and just repeat it to yourself. I believe the love that God has to me. I believe the love. God, I believe the love that you have for me. God, you love me. And you just repeat that. And you can do that before you go to bed. And it'll help you sleep better. It's putting something good in your mind before you go to bed. When you wake up in the morning, don't grab the phone. Start off, just lay there and go, Lord, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you love me. Today, I have your love. I am loved by you. Doesn't matter what everyone else says, you love me. I'm loved. It's different, isn't it? But it changes things. If we won't change, we have to be willing to do something different. If we keep doing the same things we've been doing, we're going to keep getting the same results we've been getting. And so if you change it, you can see a difference. And by the way, it's free and it's not hard. It just takes a little bit of focus, discipline, energy, attention first. Energy follows attention, which you begin to focus on. Would you bow your heads with me just for a second? Heavenly Father, I thank you. Those who are here, those who are listening, I thank you for your love for them. You have a great love for them. They're some of your favorites. And I thank you that you reveal your goodness to them and your truth, that if David can have confidence in you, we all can have confidence in you to even a greater extent. Thank you for what you've done. Said your bowed eyes are closed. If you're here and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't even have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure that I do, but I want to be sure. Or you're saying, I need to come back to him. I've been away from God. He knows it. I know it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live away from God. I want to live close to him. If that's you, we're going to pray. We're not going to have you stand up or come to the front, but we're going to pray. If that's you and you're saying, Alan, that's me, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up just real quick across the auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate your honesty. Thanks. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Thank you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to. If you're online, I can't see you. But you can still pray this prayer. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, for those that connected with you for the first time, and for those who reconnected. We rejoice with them. We thank you for what you're doing in their lives and through their lives. We give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.